The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Here comes the danger man. It's David Clifford from Fossa. They're very, very worried about him. Here's Michael Murphy. Balloons this one into the river end. He's been doing it for years. Club and county. He's around since 2007. Donegal are happy to have him.
This is a night for you, and this is a night for the people behind me. I'm not above Jim McGuinness. The only man above him is our Lord.
We wake up in the 1st of January and you're hoping things will go well, and you're hoping you can get momentum and you can build a team and build build an energy. Kerry and Dublin wake up on the 1st of January and if they don't win the All-Ireland, they'll be disappointed. So that mindset is going to be difficult for our lads to overcome, because that's what they're going to be facing. As soon as the ball's thrown in, they're going to be facing fellas that have been there, done that, and know how to do that. And have the knowledge and the experience and the tradition to back that up, So that's probably the first challenge that we'll meet. I think some of that will be played out before the ball is even thrown in.
The voice of Jim McGuinness on the hopes and dreams of Donegal this All-Ireland football final week. Good evening. Welcome to the Final Whistle. And this evening we are in Ballyshannon, one of the famous towns of Donegal in the south of the county, in Sean Oakes Sports and Entertainment Bar. If you haven't had enough to tee up Sunday's final, we've got 90 minutes of good chat, football chat, and maybe a little bit of crack and music as well. Here are the contact numbers: 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp or text if you want to get in touch with the programme at any stage, by email sport@oceanfm.ie. And you'll get us on X or Twitter, or with these guys, maybe it's TikTok, is it, lads, or Snapchat? No, I don't know what it is. At Ocean FM Sports.
Just talk.
We'll find us anyway. We like to start them young in Donegal, so we're going to have a very quick chat with Dara, with James, and with Adam, who all have tickets coming out their ears for Sunday's All-Ireland final. Dara, you're going to the game?
Yeah.
Looking forward to it?
Definitely.
What age are you?
10.
And you helped us set up our outside broadcast unit here at Sean Oakes Bar in Ballyshannon. So 10 out of 10 for that, first of all. How many matches have you seen Donegal play this year? What games have you been to?
All of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
So you're the lucky winning streak, are you?
Yeah.
Whenever you're there, Donegal win.
Think so.
Yeah. And this is James beside... this is Adam beside him, also in a Donegal jersey. So they're well kitted out. They look ready to start for Jim McGuinness on Sunday. Looking forward to Sunday, Adam?
Yeah.
You are? What do you think the score will be? Give me a prediction.
One by 8 points.
By 8 points? You're optimistic. Why do you think it'll be that big a scoreline?
Clifford's overrated.
If you had to pick a favourite player, who would you pick?
Probably Michael Murphy.
Everybody picks Michael Murphy. I think this next man might pick his dad if he was pushed to it, because his dad wasn't a bad football player for Donegal back in the day. This is James, and if I say this is James McCready, Ballyshannon folk might know who I'm talking about. How are you, James?
Good.
Are you excited about Sunday?
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to most of all?
The Sam Maguire.
Sam Maguire, you're all very sure that Donegal are going to win. Is there no worry or anxiety at all in Donegal?
No.
Why is that, do you think?
Because they're so good.
Why are they so good? What do you like about this team? What's the best thing about them, would you say?
McGuinness master plan.
Good men. Well, listen, lads, enjoy Sunday's final. Are you all going to the game?
Up Donegal.
That's James, Adam, and Dara, who are all ready for Sunday's All-Ireland football final. Give them a round of applause, guys. Well done. Right. So we're going to chat about the game. We're going to chat about a few aspects of Donegal over the next while. But I want to talk to the host here this evening, who has kindly welcomed us and the Final Whistle team to Sean Oakes Entertainment Bar and Sports Bar, the number one live sport and entertainment venue in the town, and that is, it had to be a Fermanagh man, never mind that it's a Donegal man, but although he's very affiliated to Donegal as well, so I might get him into trouble. But Maurice McLaughlin, of course, we've known as the under 20 Fermanagh County manager, and not a bad match analyst on Ocean FM earlier this season for a Tailteann Cup match, I should add as well. But give us a sense of the buzz around Ballyshannon this week.
Well, after that great introduction, Austin, you can keep talking there. You know, I was just, my ego was lifting up here off the chair. But look, you know, it's evident. You come into the town, you see the colour, you see the buzz, you see the lads in the jerseys and Sienna here, and you know the young people. It's brilliant. It's given the whole county a lift. And, you know, I have to say, Jim McGuinness coming back, you know, Mary Coughlin coming in, Donegal GAA is in a very good place at the minute, and you know, obviously in an All Ireland final, but we can't underestimate what this does for everybody, for people in general. You know, it's just a feel good factor. Now, obviously, we need to have the lads' predictions coming through there, and Sam coming down. Well, whatever way he comes, we'd like to think he'd come through Bleak and Ballyshannon, but it's usually Pettico on Sunday evening.
I remember having a cup of coffee with you here outside a local service station in Ballyshannon a couple of years ago, and we were chatting about the desolate state Donegal seemed to be in on and off the field of play. You fast forward 20, 21 months later, and it feels a different world.
Ah, look, absolutely. And, you know, I suppose those things happen. It was a very rough year for Donegal in 23. Number of players left the panel. You know, Paddy Carr came in there and tried his best. Aidan O'Rourke was along with him. And, you know, it was one of those years that didn't work out. And it was almost like, you know, just a complete turnaround overnight. Mary Coughlin came into the chair. Jim was got back. And that feel-good factor just came back into Donegal GAA. And there's no doubt there's something that Jim has that, like, not many managers, I suppose, in our lifetime have. You know, his record speaks for itself. There's no doubt about that. Ulster titles, All-Ireland final appearances, and players react to him. He's a serious motivator. So, you know, I suppose the combination of those factors, you know, with Mary and Jim coming in there.
I want to pick your football brain about Sunday's final a little bit later on, but as somebody, I suppose, of native age looking over the county border enviously at Donegal this All-Ireland final week, are the Ulster counties will be rowing in behind Donegal, would you say, by and large? Like, when it comes to an All-Ireland decider, will the vast majority be rooting for Jim McGuinness' side this Sunday?
Well, just before we go any further, I was born in the Rock Hospital in the 10th of September 1966. Went to school in Ballyshannon, so I'm very much a Donegal man and live in Donegal. But yeah, I suppose we had played our football with Bleak. Sylvester played for a while with us, and he just said Jackie McDermott came out and brought him back into Ballyshannon, you know. Maybe it was only me, the rest of us went back to Ballyshannon. But no, there's no doubt. There's, you know, I see in Bleak, flags up in Bleak all along the border. I suppose the thing is, with Kerry's success, generational success down through the years, there's absolutely no doubt we will have 31 counties behind us on Sunday.
When Fermanagh play Donegal, who do you want to win?
Look, you know, I was at Paddy asked me this question the time of the Ulster final when you were here. And, you know, I'm a Donegal man. I went to the Ulster final, I suppose, first in 74. And, you know, Seamus Boner scored a couple of goals. I remember all those Ulster finals, 83, 90. Don't remember much about 90, but that's another story. 92, I did.
We'll get that out of you an hour or two, okay?
92, I did, you know, but, no, look, Donegal, like, you know, I would always have supported it. My brother played in goals, I remember, in a McKenna Cup final against Donegal. And I, you know, as an 11 or 12-year-old, cheering secretly for Donegal, like, you know, I think I wouldn't have been forgiven.
Very good. Well, look, you sold that well in terms of your Donegal allegiances, and you were born in the Rock Hospital, so that's That's good enough for me. Maurice McLaughlin, our host here at Sean Oaksbar. Thank you very much. We'll talk with Maurice a bit later on. And a very hospitable host. And thanks to David and the guys here who have made us feel very welcome, because we were late getting up the road, so they helped us get organised in double quick time. Now, let's talk to some football royalty, and I'm going to invite these two next men up on stage here to join me for a few moments ago. You can bring your drinks, lads, if you wish, because 1992 remains the seminal year for Donegal Gaelic Games. It was the breakthrough year in terms of a first ever All-Ireland Senior Football Championship title. If you were listening to Paddy McGill's podcast today, episode 4 was an interview with the captain of that 1992 team. And we're delighted to say he's here with us this evening. And alongside him, looking ready to tug out and play for Jim McGuinness, from Erua Ballyshannon, although he played a bit of football with Baleek, Morris has just reminded me, back in the day. But he was also part of the 1992 All-Ireland winning squad. That's Ballyshannon, Sylvester Maguire, or Sylvie, and the great man, the big man, the captain of Donegal, Anthony Molloy. Give them a round of applause. Guys, thanks for sitting in for a few moments ago. Sylvie Maguire, you just love weeks like this, don't you? I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, well, they don't come around too often, but it's very important to point out. I think Molloy was born in the Rock Hospital as well, in Ballyshannon.
Myself and Morris, yeah. I was born in the Rock as well, yeah. Were you born there too? Yes. Yeah, there you are.
You're revealing that technically Anthony Molloy should be playing for Ballyshannon and not Ardra back in the day.
Absolutely. I would have been having a hell of a lot less injuries if he had, because we had some tight battles over the years.
Guys, when you see the buzz around the town, the flags, I know it's a different decade, it's a different era, the game has changed, but does it bring back wonderful memories for the pair of you?
First of all, I'm delighted to be here tonight, and thanks to our host, Morris, for inviting me along here tonight to Sean Oaks and that. And, you know, it's go back to 92, I am so proud of the achievement them days, right, with the group of players we had, Sylvie and everybody else. Like, it was a massive achievement at the time, and, you know, it brought so much joy then. This week, we can see that joy again, what it does to a county, Austin, is unreal. You know, you have the joy, you have a positivity, you've the opportunity to showcase your county, showcase your people, and show the country who we are up here. Because, we always say, we're the forgotten county. And, so being in the All-Ireland final, it's important for them reasons. It's a free advertisement for 2 weeks, for such a beautiful county like Donegal and that there. And, 92 was a special day for all of us, and a day that I'll never forget. It's a day I'll take to the grave with me. It's just as clear as yesterday, 33 years later, And look, it's just full of pride and proud of where I came from myself, and proud of my club and proud of my county and proud of that group of players that I played with, So it's a massive occasion.
In my job, guys, wherever I go around the county, people remind me, Sylvie was a member of the 92 squad. Jim McGuinness was a member. We were in St. Noel's on Tuesday night. There was a girls' minor league match being played, St. Noel's against Dunloe. Dunloe were managed by Tony Boyle. And everybody was pointing that out. Tony Boyle is here tonight. And that's the 1992 reference, connection. It is 33 years ago, and that's not meant to make you feel old. But the sense Austin, of connection and lift you're talking about, Anthony, still
just
resonates.
Before Sylvie comes in there, it's great, and maybe the younger people forget, but Jim McGuinness was part of that group in 92, and he's been that link from 92 going on through to 12 up and right into this day, and sure, that's fantastic.
Does it feel years ago, Sylvester, or, in a build-up like this, do the memories come flooding back?
Well, I suppose it doesn't feel that, definitely not, but it's part, when you're part of the first team to do something. I remember the great Micheál Ó Muirchertach saying that the first team will always be remembered. Myself and Andy were lucky enough to be part of an under-21 team 10 years earlier in 82. That was very special. But, if you want to know what it means, if you meet Brian McNiff this week, he's like a teenager running around Bundoran. The eyes are dancing in his head, and he's reliving it all. And we all are in our own way. But, it's when you see the kids, three lads up here earlier, they're raring to go. They're mad to get to Crow Park. And young McCready will probably be beside the cup when it's being presented. He's a great devil for doing that. And that's what it's about. It's lifted the whole county. Ballyshannon is buzzing again. Ardra is buzzing. St. Noel's. Small enough club. Three guys involved. It's unbelievable. And, you know, it just lifts the whole county. And when we come from where we were in such a short space of time, we were knocking about for a while and going very well under Declan, you know, and we were quite successful. Just couldn't make the break. And then kind of fell down. And then the Messiah came back and Jim has just... He's infectious. I see a lot of similarities with him and McNiff. When he comes in...
Do you, really? I do, yeah.
Both of them are ruthless to win. They want to win. They won't allow you to think any other way. And that is... And there's a guy down managing Kerry that would cut your throat to win a game, as any good manager has to be. So we have to be on the ball from the throw-in till the final whistle.
Anthony Molloy, does Jim McGuinness remind you of Brian McAniff?
Yeah, I'll always mind him, like, as a 19-year-old when he was part of our group, you know, and he even stood out, like, in them days. And, you know, look at the bar, and the whole thing's changed since 92. Like, the bar is raised as a professional setup now, but Jim in them days even stood out in the dressing room. He was a big, tall lad, like, with long, dark hair down to his shoulders. Like, so he did stand out. But there's two things, and they're equal. Brian McAniff was a player's man. Jim McGuinness is a player's man. They always look after the welfare of the players comes first. Like, and the old man, as we always, he's 83 now. He was a father figure, like, to us. Jim is a father figure, like, to this group here. There's no doubt about that. They even speak like Jim McGuinness. Unbelievable. And but the whole thing has changed, Austin. Like, we were only allowed to carry about 25. Of a panel. We had one physio maybe up until about 3 weeks before the final of four, Austin, and then we had the good doctor himself, Austin Kennedy, that he was with us all the time, and that's all we had. Now they have two coach loads, you know. We had no spin doctors, like, we had nobody to tell us. We'd have sorted out our own heads, like, if it was going south on you, like, and
there's some sorting on that.
But that's the way it was in them days. Like, the old man, he was our psychologist too, like, but they have everything now, you know, but it has changed. And look, at we had a great time in our day, and Jim has taken us back. I'll always remember, and my good buddy John T, we were up in Newry in 223, and there weren't many up that day from Donegal Town. We always remember it, John T, myself. We did not meet a Donegal car that day. We played down the first round. And down beat us in 23 by 5 points. And I said to John T, "Hey, John T, where are we going coming down the road?" And thankfully, things have turned around. Look, we've got Jim back in. He has done throw Jim work. Unbelievable work what Jim does. But he has this knack of unearthing players. He's unearthed young Rorty. He's on Kieran Moore. And he'll make a player of a player if he thinks he can do the business Jim McGuinness do. Just another example about what Jim can do. There's a Ryan Bradley guy, he was way overweight back in 2012. Rory Kavanagh was underweight. So I think he took 2 stone of Ryan Bradley and he put 2 stone on Rory Kavanagh to play in the middle of the field. So that's Jim. Yeah.
They swapped it over. Yeah. Very good. Do either of you wonder if you were both now in your football prime? Let's imagine, Anthony, there was no 8 miles of bandages around the knees and everything was working 100%, and ditto for Sylvie. Would you love to have a crack at the modern incarnation of Gaelic football today with all the added developments there have been? Like, it would be something to see how an Anthony Molloy, a Sylvie Maguire in their football prime might feature today. Would you like a crack at that?
Yep, look it, I wonder. And but first of all, Austin, like, I wouldn't be allowed out today. That's the way it is. Not allowed out with a bandage. You won't see any boy playing with a bandage on him now, do you? But no, look, I would love, yeah. Because I think we changed things around in 92. We started doing what the Kerrys were doing maybe 10 or 15 years prior to 92. We started training. We only used to train 2 nights a week, so isn't that right?
Tuesday,
you went home Tuesday and Thursday. After we played for Manna in 1992, we had a players' meeting. Now there's some of them starting to get up there. And so the management and all, they went an extra night. And that was a change for us. We trained one night without the ball at all. Just trained.
What did you do?
We were up and down the up in sandbanks and down, and we trained for about an hour and a half. Rock, and
she
we're doing 400s, 200s, 400s, 800s, and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, there's a different era now, and there's some Éireann Ballyshannon underage coaches who'll probably back this up. But nowadays, the philosophy is don't do anything without a football, whatever you're doing, from under six up to adult.
But Austin, you got to get fit first, like, and you got to get fit to play the game. So that comes later. You know, like these guys have the very first night Jim took over, he went down to Dunfanaghy, and that's 2 years ago now or more, and they were on the beach for 2 hours down Dunfanaghy. And Jim is a pet dog, which he loves, that goes everywhere with him in the car, right? And the final bit of that training was he would throw a ball away up as far up as he could up the dunes. Now, boys, get that, get after. And the dog would take it back all the time, right? And Jim said, that's where we have to be at. So the hard training hasn't gone. There's no shortcuts, Austin, you know. So, and then after that, then, what these boys, and people don't know this, they're 7 days a week. I mean, 7 days a week, whether that's been... Now, I'll give you an example. The Thursday night before the semi-final, there was only 40 minutes out in the pitch. Because I met Paddy and I'm heading away that evening. I was in Kilkhar. There were 40 minutes on the pitch, not 1 minute before or after, right? Off. But there were 2 hours later, analysing and all that kind of stuff. So that's, like, we didn't do much analysing. Yeah. They came a wee bit of video stuff in mind towards the end and that there, but that was it for us, you know.
A wee bit of slagging going home on the bus was as much in that.
Exactly, yeah. So, look, it's unbelievable what these lads are given. Bearing in mind now, and this is from 16... with schools of excellence and development squads and that there, they're all going through, they're all being taken up the same way. The same thing's been expected of a 16-year-old now as a senior, which is great. And, like, we are lucky, look, that we have a great setup here in Donegal, right through the county board, down to all our underage managers, right down onto development squads and that there. I think we're in a very, very healthy state now.
Sylvester, I'm old enough to remember Donegal playing National League football in Division 3. In the 1980s, they weren't a top tier county back then. They are now, and they have been, you know, notwithstanding a couple of seasons ago, a top tier county or on the fringes of it for a while now. So with that comes added expectation, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, just when Anthony and myself started in the early 80s, it was Division 3. We were playing the Fermanaghs of this world, Wicklow. We think we played Waterford 1 year, Westmeath, Antrim, and that's where we were. And I know from talking to some of my mates in Sligo, they'd be saying, you know, what has Donegal done? Well, probably the big thing was Brian McNiff got people believing, going the same way that Jim has the team going the same. But it was gradual. It was up, but it was down. Good days, bad days. And there was an awful thing in Ulster at the time. I'd say from about 68 to Bar Derry, I think 75 and 76, it was Armagh in the late 90s, but two back-to-back. Other than that, every year there was a different team winning Ulster. It was so hard to win the Ulster Championship. And then when you got there, maybe we thought, geez, that was it. You know, we've enough done. Whereas McNiff's mindset changed that and Jim's mindset has changed that. And what Anthony alluded to there with the development squads, I'm involved on the 14 level with them. And Brian Roper is one of the main coaches in there. And they're on programmes. And there's an elite group being pushed on now at 15 and taken to the next level. And the next level for Buncrana Cup and then County Minor. And that's the way it goes. And there's some great work going on in Sligo. They've had a couple of very, very good years. All the counties, you can't stand still. If you stand still, you're left behind. But some of the counties are just progressing a wee bit more and a wee bit more quickly. But huge investment it takes for that. And thank God we have Convoy, because I don't know where the teams would be training if we didn't have Convoy. Every night you go to Convoy, we've been over there, Anthony, there's, what is it, four or five pitches. They're flat out. It doesn't break, and between ladies, hurling, camogie, football, underage, adult, savage work going on in the county. And if this trophy can come down the road, it will be such a boost.
It surely would. If you're just tuned in or logged on, we're live in Sean Oakes Sports and Entertainment Bar in Ballyshannon. This is the final whistle on All-Ireland Football Final Week with Austin O'Callaghan, and I'm chatting here with two of the 92 heroes, Sylvester Maguire-Eirua, team captain Anthony Molloy, our Dra. My reason for going back there, and we've got an ad break to take in a moment, so we will take a break in just a moment, but I went back in time because now we go into this Sunday final, Anthony Molloy, full of expectation right around the county. It's hard to find a Donegal supporter this week, hand on heart, apprehensive, or certainly outwardly apprehensive about Sunday. And rightly so, because this team of Donegal has impressed and there's a lot to be positive and encouraged and optimistic about. But does it add extra burden?
Look
on
at
the team,
yeah, Austin,
the dynamic.
Look at, you know, it's the biggest day of these lads or this group's life on Sunday. There's no doubt about that. It's the biggest day in their life. No, I tune in to Reading the Gaels. Look at the down in Kerry, like, and the amount of positivity coming out of Kerry is unreal. I think the more or less have just to turn up, and like, and I listen to that, and but like, you know, you have to give Kerry their way. Look, they have 28 All-Irelands behind them. Look, and they think they've got goddamn right to win the All-Ireland every year. This group of lads, I know Jim. Jim has a degree in psychology, so he'll have them right going out onto the field. Look, at it's a place, Croke Park, it can be very lonely if things are not going your way. And but I do know for a fact, like, the amount of effort and time that Jim has put into this group, he's unearthed. I think we're a way stronger squad than we had in 2014. I think we have definitely more scoring power than Kerry. And we all know how great Clifford is. And after that, you have Shawnee O'Shea, kind of comes and goes in games, but at the same time, he turned it on in one of them games there. But I think deep down, Kerry know that they have to worry about more of our lads than we might have to worry about regarding scoring. Now, it's going to be a rare game. I don't know how Jim is going to be interested in how Jim's going to set up, maybe starting out, because all year, in the last couple of matches, we have been a bit slow to start. And so you might see a bit of negativity in the first 10 or 15 minutes. Maybe we might have four at the back and four in front of that again, just to shore up things until we get settled down. And look, at we all know then, like, when we're going at top flight, like, how we can play. Like, and all our players, they're so natural on the ball. And Austin's unreal. And we had 18 different scorers against Meath. We had 18, like, between subs and everything. Not 16. And which is phenomenal, like, you know. And so we all can take scores. We have unbelievable pace. So I just hope that we can express ourselves on Sunday, Austin, definitely. And if we do express ourselves, look, at we will definitely come out on the right side of the result.
Sylvester McGuire. You've got backing for those sentiments, Anthony Molloy. Sylvester Maguire, what are your tea leaves telling you about this encounter?
We have to start well. I don't think we can afford to play for 20 minutes of our best football only as we did.
So Donegal can't do a Monaghan this time?
No, you can't do that. Not against Kerry. But if we, as the Manchester, get up and tear into them, as McNifford said, go at them like the waves of Tory, was his great phrase in 92. If we impose our game on them, they'll not know who to mark, because we come in waves, and that's the way we play. We have a lot more scorers, as Anthony alluded to there. Kerry do depend an awful lot on Clifford and O'Shea, and Paddy Clifford as well, and for a lot of their scores and a lot of their creation. And I think that we'll be cute enough on the kick out to keep it away from the big buck in the middle of the field, and we'll win our own possession. And if Patton's on form with the kick outs, and it's such a key part, I think that's vital for us to have the victory. And of course, everyone, the real leaders and the real stars come out on the big day, and that's what it's all about. And they don't come any bigger than Michael Murphy.
Well, we've gone 39, 40 minutes of a programme that hadn't mentioned the names Clifford or Murphy until now. Back in 92, Anthony, was there as much focus on individual players, do you remember? Maybe it was on you or Martin McHugh or a Tony Boyle or Manus Boyle, three taking, I can't remember. And with Dublin, it could have been anything from Vinnie Murphy to whoever, I can't remember.
Austin, we had a very simple game plan in 92, like, and you know, we had leaders everywhere. But sure, my job was just one possession. I give a wee short pass to the wee man and or else kick it long somewhere into Tony. And that was so simple a game plan, like, look at it work well, like. And but as Sylvie says, look at, you have to go at it from the throw-in, like. You have to look at it. We weathered the storm for the first 10 minutes of that final back in 92, like, and Dublin missed a penalty. And after that, we didn't look back, you know. So, look at, we were lucky in 92. And look at this present squad, too, as leaders everywhere, you know. You've great to have Murphy back, like, great to have Murphy, like. And maybe if he was there last year, we might have had one. Paddy McBrearty, like Langan, like all these lads, the leaders, you know, they're around a wee while now. Look at this lot of young lads, Kieran Moore, like, it's their first time here. But Jim will have them well prepared for that too.
Do you think this, from the very start, the intensity, this process in football, that it has, in a small way, hampered individual creativity from time to time amongst inter-county teams?
Yeah, well, I think we talk about coach with the ball, none of this. And yet we all coached kind of the systems for a good while. And yet you see the likes of Clifford, you see the Kieran Moores, you see the Rorties appearing. The cream will come to the top. And I think we have, the greatest footballer I've ever seen in my life is Michael Murphy. Because for me, he doesn't have a weakness as a player. He can kick free his left foot, right foot, win the ball, but it's his leadership. And no matter what amount of coaching, you try to coach out of players like that. You won't. The quality is there. Back in our days, as the big fella here alluded to, the wee man was the man on the ball. The wee man would always tell you, run like hell, and when you're about 2 yards from the goals, pass it to me. And that's what most of us done. Because you knew it was a sure score when the wee man had her. So
some things don't change in that sense.
No, but the cream will come to the top. That's the bottom line.
Guys, we're going to take a break just for 2 minutes. I have to just earn a few quid from a radio point of view, but will you stay with us for a couple more minutes? I have a few more things to ask you. Anthony Molloy and Sylvie Maguire, ladies and gentlemen. More from the guys in just a second, and we've lots of other people to talk to as well. We're live in Sean Oaks Bar in Ballyshannon, 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text if you want to send us in a WhatsApp. And we're back in about 3 to 4 minutes. Join us shortly.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Welcome back to Sean Oaks Sport and Entertainment Bar in Ballyshannon. This is the Final Whistle on All-Ireland Football Final Week, live from Ballyshannon. In the heart of the town, we're on the hill and the jerseys are out. I see someone there is a Martin Gavigan number 6 jersey. What a centre-half-back Martin Gavigan was in 1992. I mentioned in the first part of the programme we had football royalty from Donegal in Big Anthony and Sylvie Maguire. The football royalty in the house tonight extends far beyond the county border and the provincial border, because we have a man here who boasts not one, not two, but 3 Celtic crosses from the 1960s. He was playing in the maroon and white of Galway during that decade, but he is living in this neck of the woods now, and that is Sean Mead, who probably came in here for a quiet pint, and now I'm going to put a microphone in front of him. Sean, it's very good to see you.
Thank you very much, yeah. Great.
Does this bring back nice memories for you as a 3-time All-Ireland winner to be part of All-Ireland Final Week?
Yes, it's good, all right. You know, like, the Gaelic atmosphere. Yeah. And 3 times, you said. Well, I played in 5 All-Irelands.
Sorry. And my father's a maths teacher, so I know who to blame. I'm thinking of the 3 in a row, of course, in the mid-60s. But you were quite right. 5 Celtic crosses, not 3. How dare I undercount a medal haul like that? Do you still have the medals?
Oh, I have, yeah.
Where do you keep them?
At home in the house. Yeah.
And on a week like this, would you... Would this be a week when you would take them out and have another look at them?
I would. It brings attention to you, you know, leading up to a final. Especially Donegal, the fact I'm living here now. And I played for Donegal, you know.
You did. That's right. Your daughter Grace told me about that some time ago. When did you play for Donegal?
It was in the league or championship, and that's quite true. I played full back.
And did you play many games for Donegal at that time?
Not really, no. 2 or 3.
Was the Donegal style of play very different to the Galway style of play back then?
Yes, well, the Galway play, our team is very understood one another's play, and they know where such a player, if he gets a ball, you know where to kick it because he's going to be there, the other guy, you know what I mean? But much different, you know.
What do you think of this current Donegal team that has reached the 2025 All-Ireland final?
Yeah, in a funny, I would back them because I think they have good quality and they're determined guys, and fair dues to the manager. He's doing a great job, you know, making them think about football when they're playing it, you know. So it's very good.
I'm sure you're probably hoping for a Donegal-Galway All-Ireland final. What happened to Galway this year?
A good question. I'm not quite sure, but I thought they were going to do better than they did, you know. But they didn't, of course. Mm.
Of your five All-Irelands, Sean, which is your favourite, if that's a fair question to ask?
Well, when you use an All-Ireland win one, they're all favourites. I won three of them, you know. Played in five, but won three. And I would say any of the three was fantastic, you know, because it was a great achievement at the time. And we had a great group of guys. Our players were very, you know, friendly with one another as well as everything else. And they talk football and talk tactics and whatnot. I know we were a manager, but we'd be doing our own talking as well. But they were a great group of guys. And there was 10 of them teachers, and one of them head teacher. And we used to have a great crack when you go in training. I'd be waiting in the dressing room in the bathing room, and I'd say, "Hold on, boys," because Matty McDonough, he wasn't a teacher, and I'd say, "Hold on, boys, here's a non-teacher coming, Matty McDonough." The crack would be good, you know. It's only a bit of crack, you know.
Will you watch the final on Sunday? Will you go, or do you prefer to stay at home and watch it on TV? How will you spend your All-Ireland final Sunday?
Well, at my age, you know, it's tough going like that. I'm not a great man to walk now or anything like that. So it's better, you see more of it, you know, when you see it on telly. You know, the activity. And you see it better. I know you'd lose the atmosphere. I've not been at it. But it's good to watch it.
Do you get nervous watching it on telly? A lot of people tell me as they get older, they find it hard to watch certain games when it's close and exciting. They have to go for a walk or make a cup of tea. Do you find that?
Oh, no, I don't. No, no, no. I think it's great. I think it's great to watch it. And you know, the closer the game, the better it is. Okay. You know? So that's it.
Am I allowed to ask finally what age you are, Sean?
What do I look like?
You look 29 to me and counting. So.
Okay. No, I'll be, next birthday, I'm going to be 89. 89. Yeah.
Well, Sean Mead, multiple All-Ireland winner with Galway. You're getting younger with age, I think. You are. Enjoy the final on Sunday, and thank you very much for grabbing a few words with us here in Sean Oak tonight.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Galway and Donegal, Sean Mead. Thank you, Sean. That was lovely. And just to remind you that Sean's daughter, Grace Mead, who played Gaelic football for Donegal as well at LGFA with distinction, is of course the home swimming coach to Ballyshannon's Olympic medalist, Mona McSharry, in the swimming pool, because while Grange in Sligo is her home, this is her second home. She has two homes when it comes to swimming, and she'll be in action on Monday in Heat 1 of the women's 100 metres breaststroke at the World Aquatics Championships in Singapore. So I'm sure Grace and maybe Sean will be up at 3 in the morning, Sean, if you want to watch Mona McSharry in action next Monday morning. 3 a.m. her heat's on, so set the alarm. Tell Grace to set the alarm for that one. We are coming up to the news at 8 o'clock, so we're going to take a break shortly, guys. We've got lots more people to talk to. Oh yes, I have a request to read out, my apologies, because we have people listening to us tonight in Vienna. in Austria. I want to say hello to Ryan McGlone, to his wife Claire, to Ryan and Claire's son Finn, and to Anna, because their parents, Oliver and Bernie, are here this evening, joining us for our Up for the Match in Sean Oaks in Ballyshannon. So a big hello. I don't have good German or Austrian, so I won't try and translate the request. But we're thinking of Ryan and Claire and the family this week on All-Ireland Final Week here in Ballyshannon in County Donegal. So we're on 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address, and you'll find us on X and on Twitter as well at Ocean FM Sport. We're going to talk about lots of things in the second half. We're going to get lots of predictions. I'll be coming around the crowd as well. I want to get some grassroots supporters' predictions on Sunday. We're going to talk to a couple of stalwarts of Éireann Ballyshannon. We're going to tell you all about Hill 17, which is coming to Ballyshannon this Sunday. If you can't get a ticket, can we have a show of hands very quickly before the news at 8 o'clock? Hands up if you've got a ticket. Hands up if you've got a ticket or a solid promise of one. Let's get a straw poll here in Sean Oaks. Hands up if you have a ticket or the solid promise of one. Let's see the hands. Not many hands going up. I thought there'd be more. Maybe they're keeping their cards, so maybe they're here networking. There could be a bit of horse trading going on in the next hour. So while the news is on, we'll let the horse trading begin and come back to us for hour two, the final whistle, Up for the Match, live from Sean Oaks in Ballyshannon. Rejoin us in about 6 minutes. Thank you. Welcome back to Sean Oaks Sports and Entertainment Bar in Ballyshannon for hour two of the final whistles, Up for the Match, on this All-Ireland Football Final Week. We're going to hear from the heroes of 92 in a short while again. I want to get their big match predictions. Sylvester Maguire and team captain Anthony Molloy have gladly, kindly held on for another while. But we've lots of other people to talk to. And I want to start this hour by talking to this Donegal supporter, because I'm jealous of what she's wearing. She has got one of Donegal's Ulster final jerseys from earlier this season. This is Dervla Gallagher. Dervla, whose jersey are you wearing?
Gavin
Mulraney, the goalkeeper, number 16. But of course he played when Sean Patton was injured, and it's that lovely kind of, what is it, greeny blue, watercolour blue with the black sleeves and the Donegal crest, that Dervla. It's a lovely jersey. You're not going to take that off this week, are you?
No.
You'll go to bed with it, I think, will you?
Yeah.
Who's going to win on Sunday, Dervla? You tell me. Sort it all out for us now.
Donegal.
Donegal. And will you say three cheers? Do you like football, Dervla?
Yes.
You do. Good girl. And you'll be cheering for Donegal. Will you do three cheers for Donegal for me? Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Dervla Gallagher, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Dervla. Keep that jersey forever. It's a great jersey to have. I want to talk Éireann Ballyshannon for a few moments here. Can I invite up one of the stalwarts at club and county level back in the 90s. When I was a very young Cub reporter in Ballyshannon, there were times, if it didn't go well for Donegal, where the players understandably mightn't want to talk to the media after the game. But almost without fail, back in the 1990s on the old Northwest Radio, Fonzie Travers used to knock a tune out of this man after every National League or Championship match. And today he's coaching diligently underage teams with aplomb at Father Tierney Park and at Páirc Éireann. Please welcome Niall McCready. Where's Niall? He's here. Up here. And I want to... I'm feeling a bit lonely here as the only Sligo man in town, so I'm going to get a bit of moral support here, because Éireann Ballyshannon senior men's footballers, their Bonnachshore in 2025 is another North Sligo man, and he's not doing too bad with them. He's got them promoted back to Division 1, and he got them into a league final last weekend. We won't talk about extra time and all the... It went very, very close, only a point at the end. Please welcome Jimmy Langan. Come on up, Jimmy. Men, you're welcome. Jimmy, you can grab this. You can hold that like a lollipop at Mammy Johnson's. Well, Niall McCready, you must enjoy weeks like this, or do you? Or is it stressful hunting for a ticket? Or maybe people come to you, you're the man who'll sort me a ticket. What sort of week is this for you?
A bit of both. Plenty of people ringing looking for tickets, thinking you have them out, you know, hanging out of your pockets, but which isn't the case, obviously. But I love these kind of weeks, whether it's Ulster final or All Ireland final. They don't come around too often, but the excitement within the town, the club, especially with the underage teams, is phenomenal, you know.
Does the build-up feel the same as 92, 2012, 2014, or is it more of a sprint this time around?
No, I think it's a bit like, looking back, it is a bit like that, you know. It comes around quite quick, you know, but everyone's talking about it, whether you're young, old, everyone's talking, everyone has an opinion, and it's just brilliant, you know. As I was saying before, they don't come around too often, so you have to make the most of it.
You coach under 10s?
10s and 16s.
And 16s.
That's correct.
At Aireu Ballyshannon.
So, and under 8 girls.
And under 8 girls, very important. Right, so Donegal reaching an All-Ireland final, what does that do for the troops you're coaching at this time of year?
Well, I've been to two blitzes in the last 5 or 6 days. We were in Killybegs last Sunday morning with about 4 or 5 clubs, maybe two, or with 20 kids each, we say. The excitement and the energy level down there, all the kids were talking about it or reenacting it. You know, reenacting it. That's what you see in the warm-ups or when they're kicking about and you're watching one or two of them. You'll see them having a shot and they're talking about Murphy, they're talking about Lang and whoever it is, you know, reenacting it. And it's just brilliant, you know. The energy levels are phenomenal.
Yeah. And it rubs off on the entire county, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, yeah. It was phenomenal. We were at a very good blitz there. The last two blitzes were brilliant. We were in Neve Breeden Tuesday night. They ran a great blitz. And then we were down in Killybegs at a bit of a kind of a bigger blitz on Sunday gone by. And the crack was great. The music going, the flags were going. It was just, energy levels were brilliant.
Now, we're not saying that back in the 70s and 80s, kids didn't go to matches. Of course they did. Lots of parents brought their kids to matches. But it is very visually evident right now how many families are part of the match day experience. The volume of children, young footballers, male and female, who are around the inter-county championship scene. That is one of the changing dynamics of the GAA right now. Would you agree?
Yeah, it is. It's it is really family orientated, you know, when you and it is brilliant. Like for myself on Sunday morning, I'm going to pack the car with sandwiches, tea and cubs and head off up to the game, you know. So it is very family orientated and it is brilliant to see it, you know.
My mic might be interfering with speakers here, so I'll move in behind it for just a moment. Apologies, Sean, for that. Jimmy Langan, your first season with Aireu Ballyshannon. Steady as she goes. Happy enough?
Yeah, happy enough. I suppose coming in, the main thing was, the first target was to get promoted to Division 1 and get the reserve team up and running. And I think last Saturday in the final against Dunlow, I think we had 20 tog with the seniors and there was 32 with the reserves. So that, I suppose, in success, is successful. You know, the more young lads are playing with Aireu, it's only good for the senior team. So they were the two targets met so far, and as Austin.
Yeah, I mean, you've come into a club with a rich heritage in Donegal Gaelic games, and I think everybody, well, in this house, number one, but in South Donegal would feel they are where they belong, at the top tier. That's where they shouldn't be, you know, a club of this stature and heritage. Has it been a big adjustment moving from Sligo club football to Donegal club football?
I remember as a young fella, I remember coming down to watch, whoever brought me down, I'm not sure, but to watch Aireu playing Ulster club games in the park here. That's a long time ago now. But just chatting there to Eamon McGrath and Shane's father, but the big difference I find in Donegal, our first league game was the end of March. So we had 10 games in a row. Like in Sligo, you have 9 games. Like after last Saturday in the league final, that was our 14th game. And the travel, like the away games, you have young lads, like you have lads living in Dublin, Belfast, whatever. But for students especially, like an away game, I remember we played Muff there. And myself and Liam Gamartin ended up going through Derry to it for some reason. But so I'd have young lads coming, maybe if they're not on the team or whatever, like, it's a day's work on if you're in college, or even the lads working. So the travel, and like we had 10 games in a row, while we, like in Sligo, the league is, you'd have 2 games, then you'd have a week off. So lads, but it's serious commitment. That's what I find is the big thing here.
It's a long way to Muff, that's for sure. Beautiful part of the world, though. Gents, let's talk about Sunday's game then. Niall McCready, do you find yourself comparing notes with You were a nifty cornerback back in the day, and other positions as well. Do you find yourself comparing notes with Finbar Rorty's and other backs, you know, as you look at the current incarnation of this Donegal side?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose just earlier you were chatting to Sylvester and Anthony about wanting to play, or maybe would you have liked to play it? I know I would love being playing at, you know, with the new rules. McGuinness has the boys going really well, and yeah, you know, Finbar is phenomenal. You know, he's my kind of player. Right. Yeah. You know, he's that type of player. Yeah, so
you'd love to play with the new rules, would you yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Just the athleticism and the field opens up. I think it'd be fair enough to say for the last number of years, Gaelic football was going very stale, especially at senior level, whether it was intercounty or club level. It was nearly hard to watch. But I don't think there's anyone complaining now. I think the new rules have really brought it on. Yeah,
yeah. Jimmy Langan, as a manager, are the sidelines a lot quieter now because of the new rules?
Oh, 100%. And my honest opinion is that it's a player's game now. Before this, the line, you know, you could make changes, or there's 15 behind the ball, or 13 or 14. It's a player's game now, and it's 100% far more enjoyable. I'm sure for players, Niall is saying, it's a player's game. And if you have a bit of football about you now, it's the game for you. Do you know, while before this, like, you were bogged down, there was 15 behind the ball, there was no room for you on a team, really, to be honest. But it's far more enjoyable to watch. Yeah.
Well, you can give us a more dispassionate take, because, you know, we're in a Donegal house here tonight. As you look at this All-Ireland final, it does feel like the two best teams have reached the decider. Is that how you see it?
Oh, without doubt. I just said a few months ago, Donegal played Derry in a league game in Ballyshannon. I have a young fella, Connor, who had been on the Sligo Miners, just to see. So we were there before the warm-up, and to watch the warm-up from Donegal was amazing, really. The amount of their fitness level is crazy, do you know. So even for my young fella to say, look, if you want to play at any level of football, this is what you've got to match. So there's no doubt the two best teams, I suppose. You have Donegal running style, and you'll have Kerry kick passing, so it's a great game to look forward to, and it's without doubt the two best teams in the country playing on Sunday.
Yeah, Niall, you're excited?
Yeah, absolutely. And just going back to what Jimmy was saying about the warm-up, I loved watching the warm-ups. I think what Donegal do is phenomenal. If you're watching them, like, it's very rare you'd even see a ball hitting the ground, you know, in the drills. Everything is so timed perfectly, you know. And obviously, most people that are coaching are... You're maybe saying to yourself, I wonder, can I bring that back? You know, you know.
But this is a feature of Gaelic games now. A lot of people get to the ground early so they can watch the warm-ups.
Yeah, I would be disappointed if I missed it, actually, you know, to tell you the truth. And I've recorded it. I've them in my phone where I record them and see if I can bring it back to training. Yeah.
There's tablets for that, Niall. There's tablets for that. As a Donegal man, do you have any fears about this game on Sunday? Do you look at it that way? I don't detect that. There is lots of respect for Kerry, because Kerry are Kerry, you know, and their medals on the tables, you know, proves what they've done. But there's a quiet optimism, and it's not cockiness. I will read out one message we've got to the programme from a Kerry listener, if I'm allowed, Maurice McLaughlin. Am I allowed to read out Kerry messages? I am. I'll do that in a moment. But do you have any fear at all this weekend?
I suppose everyone's thinking about Clifford, you know, if he takes off and us and how we're going to deal with him. But I've been having this conversation for the last week or so when we found out we were going to be playing them in the final. How do you deal with Clifford, and, you know, what would you do? I would be thinking, McColl, if he goes into the air, leave him up there. Deal with him when he comes down, you know. But I think, too, the other scenario is the supply into him. So, you know, if they can get the pressure on out the field, you know, and just slow it up for him, or, you know, take the sting out of it, you know, we're going to be there and thereabouts, high tide, low water anyway, you know.
Is it too simplistic, Jimmy Langan, to say this is all about stopping Clifford on Sunday?
I think, to be honest, the way the new game, I think the refs play a massive role in it. Even it happened to us with Dunlough, where they went down to the other man black carded. So I think on Saturday, ref will play a huge role, his interpretation of the rules, or either black card for whatever reason. Like, you can only defend in with 10v11. So I think the refs have a massive role to play too in games.
Yeah, Brendan Coley is the man in the middle, I think, on Sunday. So that'll be interesting to see. Could it be, folks, that it's going to be somebody from left field who'll surprise us in this All-Ireland final? Whether it's Jason McGee, who's been getting back to match fitness over the few months, and there is a big game with this man that we know is lurking there, the skill and influence that he can have, or it might be just somebody who's introduced earlier than planned. Could it be that sort of All-Ireland final?
Yeah, I think that could happen, you know, where everyone's watching Murphy, Clifford, whoever, whatever, and it's kind of one of the less spoke about players shows up and, you know, puts in a lifetime performance on the day, you know. But I know this much, boys, the Donegal boys will not be found wanting. You know, whether the first 15 or whoever comes in the sub, they will empty themselves.
There's no point in me asking who's going to win then, Niall.
Well, I'm predicting a very, very tight game right to the end. And if it goes into extra time, I think we'll take them with just the power and the speed and the fitness levels.
Okay. And Jimmy?
Oh, I'll have to say Donegal.
Yeah. Remember where your car is parked, Jimmy. Good man, good man. Well done, well done. Jimmy, listen, continued success with the Airua seniors. And Niall McCready, great to see you again. You still look fit enough you could play.
No,
are you playing so. Reserve football or
no, anything? No, just coaching, but odd bit of reffing.
Bit of reffing, okay. Do you like the refereeing?
I do. Well, the new rules have made it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, everyone wants to be a referee now, is
well,
that
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Well, I was in a scenario, just Austin, it's about a couple of years ago, it was down in Eve Breed, and it was a fairly competitive game, summertime, and old rules, obviously, but... It was a reserve game. Both teams were playing 15 men behind the ball. I felt like walking off. You know, it was ridiculous. But you don't get that now. You know, it's full okay. on. It's okay. a much better game.
Okay. Well, guys, enjoy the game. Ladies and gentlemen, Niall McCready, the referee, and Airua manager, Jimmy Langan. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Here's that Kerry WhatsApp, folks, that's come into the programme. Tuned in from the beautiful kingdom. Listening to the programme, enjoying the fantastic stories. Bigi Ray, Takiri Egg Shocked on Riocht Gajo, and that's from Jay O'Connor. No, it's not, it's Aisling Brown, a Kerry woman, listening in tonight. So thank you, Aisling Brown from Tralee and Sligoch, I hasten to add. We're on 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text. Now, I want to talk Hill 17 for 2 minutes. William Dugan is in the house from Airua. And if you haven't got an All-Ireland football final ticket this Sunday, I can't give you one. I'd love to give you one, but this won't be exactly the same thing, but it might be a worthy consolation, because Airua Ballyshannon, the local GA club here in the town, along with the local businesses here in Ballyshannon, of which Maurice McLaughlin, our host here tonight, and Sean Oakes is one, have come up with an idea to bring people together this Sunday to watch Donegal against Kerry. William Dugan, tell me what you've planned.
Well, I'm a very small part of what has been planned. Barry O'Neill, our current chairperson, who everybody knows is a really good organiser from the Rory G festivals over the years. So Barry and Morris got together, I think maybe before the final whistle in the semi-final, and said had a few plans afoot that Thursday or Friday to get everything together. And big screen booked and ready to go. So big screen between the gables, and the brainchild of Barry to call it Hill 17 and not to Hill 16, and the hills of Donegal as well. So it's a great idea. It was great energy in 2012 and 14 when it was also done. And it just, from the club's point of view, it's a way of giving something back to the wider community of Ballyshannon that supports Airua hugely over the years. And it is an event that... the All-Ireland, not everybody can get to, and not everybody can afford to get to, and it just gives a focal point in the centre of a town that everybody can come and watch it, you know.
And it's going to be a family-friendly event.
It's a full family-friendly event with face painting, and Dave McDonough is there, and he's organising lots of activity on the sidelines for the younger guys. So it's not just one person coming together, and it's a number of people coming together, and we have to compliment the Ballyshannon Chamber and the businesses for their input into it. Without their financial contribution, it wouldn't happen. And Airua as a club is delighted to support the local traders and make this a family-friendly event for the town of Ballyshannon and the wider area.
And a la the Dubs on Hill 16, when you and Barry O'Neill put on your green and gold bandanas now on Sunday, will you be leading the crowd in song?
I'm not sure. I don't think either Barry or myself would be here. We'd all be in Dublin. So I'd have to thank the guys behind it, that are organising it, like James Lachlan will be here. Billy Grimes is our MC. And Billy, as he, a cousin of mine, but he refers to as Uncle Billy at times, he is a great MC, and he brings great energy and crack to the crowd. And I'd also like to take the chance to compliment Jim Kane and Peter Goller for initiating all the colour around the town after the Meath game and getting it going, and all the businesses that bought into that and have brought out a lot of colour, a lot of flags and a lot of energy and goodwill for the town and the people.
Very good. Wonderful. So what time will the hill be open then on Sunday? Just give us timings and what people need to do.
Anytime from about 1:30 on, it'll be starting to build up from there, and then there will be music, face painting beforehand, and music afterwards as well. So,
okay, super, lots, plenty to look forward to in Ballyshannon. So, if you can't make the match or it doesn't suit you to go, what about the Gables in Ballyshannon for Hill 17? A great place to watch Donegal against Kerry on the big screen this Sunday. William Dugan, thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. So not a bad place to be on a Sunday, and hopefully the weather will behave. I want to talk to Sylvie and Anthony shortly, get their predictions, and I've got a few other people to talk to as well. I'm going to take a quick break here on Radio Land. So Daniel, we might take a quick break, and then we are back with lots more from Sean Oakes in Ballyshannon. Rejoin us in about 3 minutes.
We're serving up summer at Dunn Stores, and it's barbecue season. Mix and match 3 for €10 across a fantastic range of meat and fish. Try something vibrant like succulent king prawns. Or enjoy Board Bia quality assured meats like Piri Piri chicken wings or new hot honey pork belly slices and many more. Any 3 for just €10. Plus, save at the till with a 10 or 50 grocery voucher. Dunn Stores. Always better value. Terms and conditions apply. Voucher can be used on ex-grocery shop of €50 or more.
Hi, Nathan Carter here, and I'm delighted to say I've just had 2 installations from Cherrymore Kitchens and Bedrooms, and I have to say their attention to detail is second to none. With their sleek design and craftsmanship, your dream kitchen is just a visit away. So why not head over to Cherrymore Kitchens and Bedrooms and let the magic begin.
Cherrymore Kitchens and Bedrooms, Donegal Town. More kitchens your way since 1996. Visit cherrymore.ie or call 97258222 to book your free design appointment.
It's here, it's now, it's Belfast. Come and celebrate creativity at Ireland's biggest community arts festival, Féile an Phobail. For country fans, Nathan Carter, The Whistling Donkeys, Lisa McHugh and more will be playing your favourite tunes at Country Fest on Saturday, 2nd of August. Dance music, more your thing? On Friday, 8th of August, the legendary Féile Dance Night takes over Falls Park with acts including Dara and trance legend Paul Van Dyke. Uncover it all at visitbelfast.com.
Ocean FM.
Ocean FM's Northwest Hospice Radio Bingo.
It's Thursday, 24th of July. Time to play Northwest Hospice Radio Bingo here on Ocean FM. Today you're playing on a pink-coloured page. It's week number 30 and the reference number is S9. Today you're playing for €300. Here are today's 10 lucky numbers. Halfway there, 4 and 5, 45. 8 and 4, 84. 7 and 2, 72. On its own, the number 7. 1 and 7, 17. 8 and 5, 85. 3 and 7, 37. Kelly's Eye, the number 1. 7 and 1, 71. And our final number for today, 7 and 8, 78. We had 3 claims on yesterday's daily prize of €300, and the claimants were Breege Benson from Sligo. Breege got her book from Christie's Supermarket. Rita Savage from Ballysadare. Rita got her book as a gift. And Gay Hopper from Drumahair. Gay also got the book as a gift. Tuesday is Jackpot Day here on Ocean FM, and Tuesday morning's Northwest Hospice Radio Bingo Jackpot is standing at €10,900. Your lucky 10, 45, 84, 72, the number 7, 17, 85, 37, the number 1, 71, and finally the number 78. All claims must be in by 9 p.m. this evening. Please refer to your Northwest Hospice Bingo Book, which will give you the full details on how to go about making your claim. Thank you for supporting Northwest Hospice Radio Bingo here on Ocean FM. And as always, the very best of luck to all our players playing today.
Ocean FM's Northwest Hospice Radio Bingo.
Ocean FM.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
And you're welcome back to the Final Whistle live from Sean Oak Sports and Entertainment Bar in Ballyshannon. I'm going to get into predictions shortly, and there's men who know their football in the house tonight. But before that, we're going to head stateside, ladies and gentlemen, because I want to talk to a man who has flown home for this All-Ireland football final. I'm not sure if he has a ticket, but if he doesn't, he'll watch the match with his Ballyshannon brethren at the Gables on Hill 617 this Sunday. Would you please welcome Mark O'Brien? Mark, how are you? Welcome home.
Thank you.
You had to come home for this All-Ireland final.
Yes, I've been home for 2012. I was home in 2014. I experienced it on Hill 17 there before, so I had to come home again for it. Yeah.
Now, you work as a paramedic by day with the New York Fire Department.
Yes, I do, yes. I'm a busy man, but I would not
say you are. What's that job like?
You see all sorts, but I love it. I wake up happy in the morning working, so yeah, it's good.
Right. Do you get to see any football over in New York?
I watch all the football. I play football, and I'm a member of the fire department football team over there, so yeah.
In a bizarre way, do you think living away from home has made you a more passionate Donegal supporter?
Absolutely, definitely. It makes you more enjoy it more. It makes you just want to come home to watch more of the games and stuff like that, yeah.
Do you have a ticket? Are you going to the game? What's your plan for Sunday?
No, I don't have a ticket, but I'd be very happy to watch it on Hill 17 with my family. My wife's actually flying in. She's Sarah Dennehy, and her roots are from Kerry. So she might have...
And you're letting her fly in, are you?
Well, I give her permission to come in on Saturday. She's going to have the Donegal shirt on. I mean, she might have a Kerry shirt on underneath.
Tell her keep her voice down on Hill 17, would you?
I know. She'll well fit for the e-boost now.
Well, listen, welcome home. Enjoy the final. And maybe you're the good luck charm. Well, I suppose, hang on, you were home in 2012, they won. You were home in 2014, they lost. So... It's winning turn again, so it should work. It should swing back the winning side again this Sunday.
Sam is for the hills.
Is the right answer. Mark O'Brien, paramedic with the New York Fire Department and proud Ballyshannon and Donegal man. Thank you for that. I'm going to have a quick word with one of the GAA men deeply involved at local, provincial and national level over the years. Tom Daly. It needs no introduction in Éireann Ballyshannon land. And of course, deeply involved in the recent redevelopment of Father Tierney Park in Ballyshannon. And the best compliment I can pay to you, Tom Daly, about Father Tierney Park in Ballyshannon, and I've heard this, Michael Murphy loves playing on that pitch. So that's high praise indeed. Are you excited for this All-Ireland final? It's not your first rodeo.
I know it's a fantastic occasion altogether, and I suppose this has been one of the most fantastic football championships for many years. We are up at the four quarterfinals, so all of the teams, without a doubt, the two best Gaelic football teams in Ireland are in the 2025 final, absolutely without a doubt.
And it's nice that you can say that about your home county.
Yeah, look, it's phenomenal, really. The really consoling thing about Donegal is the depth of talent in the panel and the buy-in of the guys to what Jim McGuinness wanted out of them. It's unbelievable what they've done by way of effort or whatever. We had them up here for a private session for nearly 4 hours on the Saturday before the Ulster final. 36 players and the whole backroom team and so on. And when you see the level of commitment, you know, the players arriving from 9 o'clock in the morning, getting away at 2:30. They were away overnight that night in Sligo. The effort they're putting in, but the buy-in of the players, their satisfaction level to be involved. When you speak to them, 36 guys putting in the same effort, each one of them putting in the same effort, and they're there listening to hear who's in the first 26, not who's in the first 15. And I think that's... We haven't had that in Donegal for many, many years, where... You have a panel of players where they're so interchangeable. They're all up at that elite level and fantastic individual players.
Is this a very different build-up for you to compared to 2012 or 1992?
I think, you know, the fact that, that we got back into Division One National League and team performed very well there and obviously have held their status, that was a huge thing. But to come through that Ulster campaign, you know, it is a championship above championships. You know, it's probably equivalent in hurling as the Munster Hurling Championship or wherever. It's such a competitive championship. To actually come through that, all tough games, then come through the next cycle in the All-Ireland Series. I think the performance in the quarter-final where you had a 13-point turnaround in the second half, you know, down 7 points and win by six, I think that says a lot about the team in terms of its resilience and the capacity to adapt and so on. Same thing in the Ulster final. You know, we got all of our kickouts in the first half, and I need to watch the second half of that game again to see what happened in the second half.
You're sounding more and more like a performance analyst, Tom Daly.
It went down to the wire. But look, I like, that's the great thing about football this year, that as everybody is saying, everybody wants to watch it. Everybody wants to be in Croke Park on Sunday because football is right back up there. Look, we were at the hurling final last Sunday, and for years it has been the predominant game in terms of the skill set and the performances and so on. And now football is back up there, which is great, and it's fantastic. When you hear people like Niall, who's involved in coaching, talking about what it means to the kids and so on, everybody wants to be playing it. Everybody wants to be refereeing it. And people want to get to the games. And the unfortunate thing about Sunday is, the distribution thing for tickets for an All-Ireland final is so different in that the All-Ireland belongs to the whole country and to the GAA diaspora worldwide. So every club's every club gets 4 or 5 tickets or whatever, and it's so difficult. But I think the great thing is that for the quarterfinals, the semi-finals, there's so many families got their kids up to Dublin to see those games. So you had a real All-Ireland final atmosphere at the quarterfinals and particularly at the semi-final.
One last question, then I'll let you go. The only criticism I've heard about this All-Ireland final build-up is that it's very fast, very quick, very intense, that maybe 2 weeks isn't quite enough to let people savour it properly. Do you get any sense of that at all?
If we could be back in the All-Ireland final in the same circumstances in 2026, I'd take that any day of the week.
You wouldn't give a hoot, yeah?
No, absolutely.
Fair enough.
It's fantastic.
Tom Daly, thank you. Enjoy the game on Sunday. I want to go to our host, Maurice McLaughlin, now, to Anthony Molloy and to Sylvia Maguire. Guys, let's have a quick chat. So this is the boot room now for a few minutes about Sunday's final. And I'm not trying to plumose our host tonight, but Morris did a match commentary, a co-commentary on the Fermanagh-Sligo Talton Cup a few weeks back, and did a very fine job in the match analyst role. So I'd be interested to hear his tuppence worth on Sunday's final. Sylvie, you talked in the last hour about the need for a very good start by Donegal. That's the given. So Donegal have to start well. But let's imagine for a moment it doesn't start well. Sometimes the best laid plans, someone can get sent off, get injured, and the best laid plan goes up the left. Would you be confident that Donegal and Jim McGuinness have a plan B or a plan C if they do need to chop and change midstream?
Certainly. Look, Jim will be well prepared. The players will have prepared for 1, 2, 3 different plans. Are we going long on the kick-out? Are we going short on the kick-out? The long one's working, you keep going. If it doesn't, you just have to change it. As simple as that there. But I think the one thing, hopefully, we're going into this final and we probably have the squad at its strongest that it's been all year. Caelan McGonigal's back. All the injuries are healing up. And I think he'll be going out there with a full squad. He's going to need at least 20 players on the field, I'd say. And that's what's going to happen. And plans will change depending on the... On the break of the ball. If you go back at 92, we didn't start that particularly well. But the wee man and the big man here in the middle of the field got the ball moving, and the wee man started direct traffic. Morphy mightn't start too well, but he will come into the game, and we'll be looking to nullify the Kerry boys and play our own game. And I think it's important we do play our own game and not over-concentrate on the opposition.
Anthony Molloy, the old... American football coach Bill Belichick once said the key to being a great team or a great coach is to be prepared to tear up the tactics book that got you to a final to win one. He was talking about Super Bowls, but is there any prospect that Jack O'Connor or Jim McGuinness might produce something out of a different textbook this Sunday?
Look at Dawson, first of all, and I'll answer that in a wee moment, just, but look at, just want to welcome Sean Mead, the holder of three Celtic crosses, and the great chat with Sean down there. And he's a bit unique, three in a row, my God, unbelievable achievement. So, Sean, it's great to see you down there. And, I just said to Morris there, like, I hope I can be back here someday when I'm 89 and with my health and all like that there. And I would just also like to welcome Councillor Michael McMahon in here, because what a man Michael McMahon is, like, for as GA club in Bundoran. I have played in Bundoran since it was 1980. That's a long time ago. Mickey McMahon was always behind serving tea and serving everything out there, and he's a great community man. Hi, Mickey, you're very welcome, big guy. And,
you can give us a wave, Michael McMahon, Councillor McMahon.
I would just like McMahon, Michael, come up here. He's a colleague of mine now in the council.
This isn't a political discussion, but away from politics, Councillor McMahon, you do put a lot of time and energy into underage football in particular in this part of the world. I am aware of that.
Yeah, I put a lot of time into football since it was born, and I enjoyed every minute of it, you know. I am a Fermanagh man and always be a Fermanagh man, but I live in Bundoran, and I'm among great people here this evening in Ballyshannon, and we're expecting a great day in Dublin on Sunday, and hopefully by 5 o'clock, 5:15, Sam Maguire will be heading back for Donegal. As I said, I do a lot of work for the club. I think it's a great organisation. The GAA are a fantastic organisation, and I always say that this country would have been worse off only for the GAA, the way they look after their members, the way they look after young people, and the way they work for their community, and I think it's fantastic.
Okay. Michael, thank you very much. Great to talk to you. Fermanagh with Donegal.
Sorry, Austin, what was the question again there?
I'm coming to your question now. I want you to talk tactics about if there'll be a managerial surprise. And I want to tell the audience, I'm going to finish the programme tonight. I'm going to walk through the crowd here at Sean Oaks Ballyshannon. And I want you to call out your score prediction for Sunday into the microphone. You don't have to identify yourself, because they'll recognise you at home. So think about the score on Sunday. I want you to say Donegal 112, Kerry 111, whatever you think it's going to be. It'll probably be a lot higher than that, you'd like to think. But you've got a few minutes to churn that in your head, and I'll be coming around with the microphone for a one-liner Donegal Kerry score prediction. Now, to the 1992 captain, will there be a surprise tactically, or is this going to be the sort of game that we all think in our heads it might be?
Look at Austin, you know, it's all down to you on the day, right? And I also want to welcome Stephen Ward there. He lost a lot of hair since he was a minor.
You're a skilled politician. You haven't answered a question yet, Anthony Malloy.
No, look at see Sunday. Look at, you can prepare, like, and I manage plenty of teams and that there, and you can work out tactics and that. It's all down to you on the day. And from my experience, like, it's 70 minutes. Finals are 70 minutes. It's like that. It happens like that there either. But I know the gym will have us prepared for every single minute of the 70. And I do know for certain that we have more skill than Kerry. Now, they might love themselves. And that's why they do hate us, because we are more skillful players, have been. But we didn't do what they done the way back. You know, I wish we had a back door in my playing days. We have to be proud of the team that Jim McGuinness has put together. We have to be proud of where we are, where we're from, and proud of our county. And let's go up to Dublin on Sunday and take over the place.
Let me bring in Morris McLaughlin, our kind and generous host here tonight at Sean Oaks Sports Bar in Ballyshannon, because you like looking at the tactics of football matches. And is your mouth watering with this one, Morris, or is it clear-cut to you how this is going to pan out?
Well, first of all, Austin, just from a personal point of view, a big thanks to yourself, Porrick, the Ocean FM team, for you know, a wonderful night here tonight. There's no doubt about it. And great to see such a great crowd out for it. Buying a bit of time there in your question. Look,
what's your gut telling you?
Look, this is going to be a very, very close game. You know, I'm listening to everybody saying it's probably the fittest Donegal team and the best prepared Donegal team that I remember, possibly that I've ever seen.
I think I remember people saying that in 2014 and 2012.
Well, I suppose the big winners, and there was a lot of talk about this tonight, is the FRC, Jim Gavin and his FRC, because everyone will agree the game now is a much better spectacle. Niall was going to walk off in a reserve game a few years ago, you know, 15 behind the ball. Jimmy spoke about it up there. So, you know, in that sense, they're the big winners. The game itself, unfortunately, and a lot of people might want to hear this, it may turn into something tense enough. You know, that...
Why do you say that?
Well, it could be a touchy affair for a while, you know. It could be kept very, very tight. And there's load of talk about Clifford and all that type of stuff. You just can't give Clifford the space. It's as simple as that. And in my view, you've got to say Clifford's going to score at least 6 points. I think if Donegal limit him to 8 points or less, they'll win the game. Because they have Shawnee O'Shea, they have whoever else. That puts them up maybe over 20, 21, 22 points. Donegal have the firepower to score between 25 and 30 points. And, you know, from that point of view, I think they will edge a very, very tight encounter.
I just want to finish on this note here, and this is something we have to be proud of. We have the Young Player of the Year. There's no doubt about that.
Finbar Rorty.
Young Player of the Year. Langan, all-star midfielder. If he doesn't get one, I don't know, there'll be something wrong. We have Murphy, the best player Donegal ever wore shoe leather, Michael Murphy. So why are we worried about the Cliffords of this world for, like, when we're putting out the best man that ever wore shoe leather in Ireland? And that's all the Kerry greats.
Sylvester Maguire, can you come at this from a Kerry angle?
Kerry are Kerry. Donegal's Donegal. We'll do things our way. And the result will come down the right way on Sunday.
Okay, simple as that.
Okay.
Gents, thank you very much for your thoughts and insights. Really appreciate it. Sylvester, the oldest cliche going. The last word from the
cliche. Donegal, Sam, and Kerry for the butter.
The last word from Anthony Molloy, from Sylvester Maguire, Mars McLaughlin here as well, and lots of Donegal fans. So I'm coming around the houses now in a moment for your score predictions. So I want you to say county score, county score. Donegal, whatever it is, Kerry, whatever it is. And if you think Kerry are going to win, please have the courage to say that. We're into the last 3 minutes of the programme. Can I thank all our helpers here tonight, to Sean McLaughlin, to Porrick Bromley, to Dervla Carr, our new Donegal addition to our Ocean of M staff from Bundoran is here tonight. Thank you, Dervla. And she'll be cheering on Donegal on Sunday. Let me go round the grounds and get score predictions. So I'll start down the houses. Let's get some score predictions, gents. Give me a score, a final score line.
I'm going to say... let me think, sorry.
I'll come back to you. You're thinking about it. Give me a score line.
Donegal, 222. Kerry, 117.
Donegal, 220. Kerry, 118.
Donegal, 123. Kerry, 218.
Donegal, 120. Kerry, 118.
So Donegal, 220. Kerry, 117.
214 Donegal, 10 points Kerry.
Might go to extra time.
Might go to extra time. Let me move up the house here. We've got lots coming up here with Sean McGuire shortly. Score predictions votes. Give me the county score, county score.
Donegal 120, Kerry 22 points.
That's a West of Ireland accent.
Mayo.
I feel like offering condolences, but he'll be back.
You're from Sligo, like, so.
Well, we're getting closer.
Donegal 222, Kerry 19.
Donegal 120, Kerry
115.
Fair enough. Stephen Ward, do you want to have a go?
Donegal 122, Kerry 23 points.
Donegal 123, Kerry 19 points.
Donegal 223, Kerry 122.
Says the paramedic from New York.
Donegal.
Since I switched to hidden hearing, I can hear it all.
You could now. Kerry 19.
Councillor.
118 to Donegal and 114 to Kerry.
Jimmy. You don't have
what?
To.
A draw.
A draw.
Donegal 119, Kerry 19 points.
Donegal 220, Kerry second half Cork hurlers 2 points.
Donegal by a goal 222 to 122.
Donegal 124, Kerry 220.
I'll leave Morris to give the last one. Okay, Dara, here's our young footballers. Give me the score prediction.
221 to Kerry and 323 Donegal.
That's Dara. What about Adam?
Win by 2.
And James?
Win by 3.
Win by 3. Anybody else want to give a prediction? We're almost out of time. William?
222 to 119.
We're all in the 20s. And Morris McLaughlin, we'll leave the last prediction to you, the host here at Sean Oaks Bar.
224 to 126.
And he didn't say who won that. Very clever. Very clever. Morris, thank you very much. And thank you to all our Donegal supporters who've been here tonight in Sean Oaks Bar, an entertainment bar in Ballyshannon. There is live music for us coming up shortly with the one and only Sean Maguire. This programme is available as a podcast later on tonight on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts. Simply search for Ocean FM Sport to find it. We're back next week, different place, same time, hopefully with Sam. From Sean Oaks in Ballyshannon, it's good night.